Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
If you have been following our messages the last while, you will know we are going over the four most important names and titles of the Savior of sinners, as proclaimed to us in the Gospel tidings of the Bible. Do you know what those names and titles are? There is one verse in all the Bible that includes all the four main names, and that is Romans 1 verse 3. Very fittingly, as the Apostle Paul wants to explain and proclaim the full gospel message for this sinful, perishing world, he speaks of it, that message he brings, as the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There you have the four names. We have thought about the names Jesus, Christ, and Lord. And now this time we focus on his name or title or description as Son. Most likely many of you have heard that familiar verse, John 3:16, which states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, this verse brings out, there is no gift greater than this that God could have given. He gave his only begotten Son. How good to be reminded of this unspeakable gift also in this yet another Christmas season. You are not forgetting it, are you, this season? God gave his only begotten Son to serve as Savior of sinners. It is rather striking how often the Scriptures mention this truth about Jesus being God's Son. For example, in 1 John 4, just in the verses 7 to 21, Jesus being God's Son is mentioned at least four times. In a passage which so expands also on God being love, you find it saturated with the truth of God giving his only Son to be Savior of sinners like us. In other words, no one can rightly understand the love of God apart from realizing and receiving also this gospel truth about Jesus the Savior being God's only beloved Son. It is necessary for us truly and repeatedly to emphasize this truth too, for it is amazing how often this basic and most blessed gospel truth about Jesus of Nazareth has been discounted and denied, twisted and perverted in various ways. In the opening verses of 1 John 4, we are told that to acknowledge Jesus, God's Son, is the mark of true religion, while denying that Jesus is the Son of God is the mark of all false religion and of heretical Christianity. The blessed and powerful gospel message is, as expressed in 1 John 4, verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." How true what one commentator said, the whole gospel is at stake if Jesus is not God. And for sure, Jesus is God, as revealed in his most heart-melting and motivating gospel teaching, with Jesus Christ the Lord labeled over and over in Scripture as the Son of God, indeed as God's beloved only begotten Son. Listen to what the Bible-based Heidelberg Catechism instructs with its one question about this. In question and answer 33, the Catechism asks, "Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God?" Speaking of Christians, of course. And the answer given is, "Because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake." What this catechism lesson intends to bring out, dear friends, is how special Jesus is as God's only begotten Son, and how blessed that is for us, even for as many as believe on him, for then we too become children of God in and through him by adoption. Thinking of God giving no one less than his only begotten beloved Son to be Savior, let us feed on and feast on this gospel truth in this message more. Notice with me that Jesus as Savior is God's only begotten Son makes clear the mystery about the Savior and the majesty of the Savior and the marvel of God's love with the Savior and the magnitude of the Savior's work and our mandate in view of this Savior. Let's think on these 5 points. First, and the mystery with this truth, that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, does have an element of divine mystery about it, no doubt. Every true Christian will agree with this, for who of us can really grasp this wonder and understand this, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was not only very man, but also in one person very God. We are speaking of the mystery of Jesus' incarnation, the wonder of his coming in the flesh as God with us. Jesus called Emmanuel, for he is God's only begotten Son. Emmanuel means God with us. This is something beyond our comprehension. Jesus' perfect equality with God the Father, then come in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, by Holy Spirit conception of her in Mary's womb. Who can fathom this? No one. I can't explain this awesome truth, and we don't have to either. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul exclaims, and beyond controversy, meaning without question, you might say, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus, God's Son, being in the bosom of the Father from all eternity, and who never had to think it robbery to be equal with God. This being true of Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, dear friends, is a wondrous mystery too great to comprehend, and infinitely marvelous just to wonder at. For sure there's mystery with Jesus being the only begotten Son of God, and if we are healthy Christians, we always acknowledge this too. The early church struggled much in holding to and in expressing this wondrous mystery truthfully, and we still benefit today so much from their wrestlings in teaching the truth about this mystery concerning Jesus, as confessed also in the ecumenical creeds of the early church. Let me say no more than about this mystery of the Savior with his being the only begotten Son of God, except to emphasize that this mystery of the Christian gospel is not something that should take away faith in the Savior, but rather lead to real and increasing faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ. What reasons to trust and follow him as only Savior with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, considering just the fact that Jesus is the Savior who is God's only begotten beloved Son come to this earth. This puts quality and affection and authority and eternal worth and value behind the Savior so infinitely much. Saying that leads me now also to our next point about the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus being called what he is in truth, God's only begotten Son. How that should increase our respect and awe and adoration for him. Can you see this with me and agree with me on this? For consider how majestic and grand and glorious is he, Jesus the Savior, being in fact also God's only begotten beloved Son from eternity. The title only begotten Son means truly Jesus, he is the almighty eternal God, come down in human nature and human form. That means, yes, the Son of Man, the historical Jesus, who was born as a baby in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, he was really God, as well as human then. It means that Jesus, who grew up as a boy in Nazareth, as an ordinary human child, lived here on earth, sin accepted, he was actually God all the while, as well as man, while among us. In all his life and ministry here on earth, in his first 30 years, mostly unknown to us, and then with his 3 years of public ministry, Jesus was here as both truly human and also as truly divine, God's only begotten Son. The Savior was one with us in his humanity, but at the same time so completely unlike us, not only being without sin in his humanity, but being very God while also being truly man. Jesus Christ the Lord is God's Son, come down to this earth in the likeness of men. Yes, and he lived here on this sin-cursed earth for about 33 years, revealing to us God, the God of creation and providence and redemption. Jesus is the revelation of the one only true God in all his fullness and glory. Indeed, this is the case also when Jesus crawled as a worm and no man, as we read in Psalm 22, in inexpressible anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, even as the full weight of man's sin was put on his shoulders, and Jesus, as the sin-bearer, would suffer the righteous wrath of God for sin on his people's behalf. The gospel is that Jesus on the cross was not only hanging there as a human being, but as Son of God too, in one person. When Jesus was crucified and slain by his enemies, nailed to the accursed tree on the hill of Golgotha, that was Jesus Christ, the eternally beloved of the Father, the only begotten Son of God, hanging there. When Jesus rose from the dead too, and then ascended 40 days later, and is till now seated at God's right hand, there in spotless holy glory, oh, this once crucified, but now forever gloriously exalted man, Christ Jesus, he was and is and forever remains also the only begotten Son of God. When Thomas saw and recognized the resurrected Savior, we read in John 20, he said in humble awe and adoration, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus accepted that exclamation as most true and right indeed. Oh, the majesty of the Christian gospel and the supremacy of the Christian faith, dear friends, is that it proclaims not just a human Savior, but a divine Savior. You want to know the real and absolute reason why everyone should submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because it is the gospel from God, the one true God, and it is the gospel about the one and only Savior of sinners, who is also very God. Maybe, dear friends, for you hearing now this loud and clear from the Bible, that Jesus the Savior is the only begotten Son of God, yes, very God himself thus, as well as very man. Oh, perhaps that will lead you, for a first time even, or afresh today, to hear Christ's voice and to trust in his gospel call with this message. Isn't it so powerful reason and attraction to Christ the Savior? Jesus Christ the Lord, the only begotten Son of God, he is the Savior for sinners like us, you and me. His four names by itself should so attract us, should so draw us to him. Jesus Christ the Lord, the only begotten Son of God. Here is the Savior for sinners like us, you and me. Will you come to him? Do you come to him? In John 1 verse 14, the apostle writes about Jesus the Savior, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Will you not come to him? I have spoken so far about the mystery of the Savior being the only begotten Son of God and the majesty of the Savior as such. Let me now turn to another great related gospel point, namely the marvel of God's love in sending his only begotten Son to seek and to save sinners like you and me. What a marvel that God would send anyone at all to seek and to save rebellious, guilty, undeserving, wicked sinners like ourselves, who on our own also would never even ask for a Savior. Is it something that moves you way down deep, dear friends, that God should care for this wicked fallen world and show such mercy and compassion that he has worked out a way of salvation and deliverance for lost, corrupted, godless, hell-bound sinners like we are by nature? Please hear this now and be amazed with me, won't you? God so loved the world, he gave no one less than and no one more infinitely precious to himself than his only begotten beloved Son, to be the one and only Savior of sinners for us. God's dear beloved Son, whom the Father always loves with a love beyond measure, and who always enjoyed perfect, delightful communion with his Son, and the Son with him, God so loved the world, he gave this his Son. His Son always in his Father's bosom, he gave him, his one and only most precious, darling, beloved Son, to save sinners like us. And likewise so Jesus Christ also willingly gave himself for this task, to seek and to save sinners. Words can't express what a gift of sacrificial love on God the Father's part and on God the Son's part as well. No father ever loved his son more than God the Father loves his only begotten son, yet he spared not his own son to save sinners like us. It can remind us, can't it, of the text Romans 8:32. In Romans 8:32 we read, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then when you think of what God gave up his son to bear, paying indeed the equivalent of the eternal punishment for sin in the sinner's place, and what God's Son, Jesus Christ, also necessarily and willingly and perfectly did suffer to make complete atonement for sin. When you put it all together, it's just so astonishing beyond words. No wonder John wrote in 1 John 4, verse 10, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, what is your response to so gracious and glorious Savior, whom God has sent to seek and to save sinners like us? Jesus being God's only begotten Son, indeed his darling Son, so totally one with the Father, that God should so love the world that he gave us him as Savior, don't you agree too? That doesn't only tell of the mystery about Jesus and of the majesty of Jesus, but also so very much of the marvel of God's love for sinners with the sending of Jesus. What? Will God forsake his only begotten, eternally beloved Son to seek and to save wretched sinners like you and me, that we might not be forever forsaken and abandoned by God for our sins and sinfulness, as we certainly justly deserve of ourselves? Yes, dear friends, this is the blessed good news of the gospel, the gracious gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, with Jesus being none else than indeed God's own dearly beloved Son from eternity. Jesus, God's darling Son, suffered and died as the just for the unjust, that sinners like us might not perish in our sins, but be forgiven and be made his children. And the gospel message is, as many as believe and trust this Savior God shall not perish, but have everlasting life, for free and for sure, for Jesus' sake alone. Does this gospel knock at your heart and thrill you too, way down deep, I ask? Is it not most heart-melting and motivating gospel tidings? Yes, also to you and for you. Let me move now to our fourth point, how that Jesus Christ the Lord, being also God's only begotten Son, brings out too surely the magnitude of Jesus' work and worth as Savior of sinners. That our Savior is the only begotten Son of God, as well as truly the Son of Man, it just drives home all the more, you see, how absolutely solid and enduring is Jesus' saving work on sinners' behalf. Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice on behalf of sinners is a divinely worked and humanly accomplished saving work, able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, even forevermore so, because, you see, it is the work of God himself come in the flesh. Therefore, because of this divine basis and quality to it all, now even when all people of all ages, all across this world, and 10,000 worlds besides, should come to this Jesus, whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus' forgiveness of sins for all who come to him is a divine forgiveness of sins that is everlastingly sure. And his righteousness obtained for sinners like us is of infinite and everlasting, perfect, divine quality and worth, because it's of God. Always all Jesus' promises are yea and amen, too, for all who trust him. For Jesus Christ, remember, is not just another human being, righteous as ever, but he is also in one and the same person, the only begotten, beloved Son of God. God sent his only begotten Son to be the Savior God come in the flesh, because no other remedy was possible for the complete salvation of sinners. There was and is no other solution, even for God, for to save sinners, except he send his only begotten Son to be the exact Savior we need. And God was willing to send him. And Jesus willingly came, desiring to do the will of his Father. And the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus for this very task, to be Savior of sinners. Having sent God's only begotten beloved Son, do you see with me, dear friends, I ask you, the magnitude of the gospel message? Just ponder its boundless, immeasurable worth and infinite sureness and everlasting value and splendidness, no matter from what angle you study it, and be amazed. The perfectness and the sureness and the fullness and the freeness and the everlastingness of salvation found with the Savior is inexpressible. And the salvation found for us sinners with the Savior Jesus Christ, also being the only begotten Son of God, for whoever comes to him, oh, that salvation can never be added to and can never be fathomed. And the supplies thereof will never run out for all who come to him. Oh yes, this is the good news of salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ as Son of God, serving as the promised Messiah and Savior of sinners. Who accomplishes something can sometimes really make all the difference in the worth and value of that something. Well, Jesus, God's only begotten Son, accomplishing salvation on sinners' behalf, makes that salvation really infinitely precious and forever sure, even for as many sinners as come to him in faith and repentance. God is rich unto all that call upon him, we read in the Bible, to all who come to him in Jesus' name and for his sake. This is the one and only gospel message still in this fallen world for sinners like us. It's the only message of hope and help for sinners. Doesn't Jesus Christ, being the only begotten Son of God, make abundantly clear to you too the magnitude of his person and work as Savior? And we don't need to look anywhere else to see also his infinite worth and reliable word of promise to whosoever will believe. Does it have to be said here how terribly wicked and wrong it is, surely, to discount and turn away from this one and only supreme Savior of sinners, sent from God for to seek and to save the lost? In Hebrews 2 the question is asked, how shall we escape who neglect, that is, reject and despise and scorn and scoff, so great salvation as revealed in and with Jesus Christ the Lord? Will you reject so great gift as given to us when God gave his only begotten Son to serve as Savior? Oh, let it not be so, for how terrible the eternal anguish in hell will be for all who reject him, forever knowing you most foolishly and wickedly despised, so great and gracious, glorious Savior of sinners. Oh, hear therefore now Christ calling, dear friends, to repent of sin and believe on him before it is forever too late. Come, sinners, rebels and transgressors, vile and undeserving, guilty of so much sin and hardened with sin though you are, come to Jesus now, pleading his mercy and grace and salvation also for you. Isn't there deliverance still now, complete and free, with Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, as Savior of sinners? Yes, there is. But come and make no delay. Listen here to what John writes at the end of his gospel account in John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, he says, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I have one more point yet, and that is concerning our mandate as confessing Christians with so great a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is in one person, the Son of Man and the Son of God. What is our mandate and mission as confessing believers and Christian church with so great a gospel message? Is it not that we truly acknowledge Jesus as our Savior and Lord, and that we ever live to his praise and honor, seeking in this way also that more and more may come to hear and know of him? Let us not be ashamed to confess Jesus Christ is very God and man as Savior of sinners. Indeed, he is God's only begotten beloved Son even. Let's not hide this truth, but proclaim it boldly and often, and let us glory in this gospel message and seek to pass on this good news to others as we are given opportunity yet, for it is indeed the heart and riches of the gospel message. That the Savior is the only begotten Son of God makes possible our complete salvation and our blessed adoption into the beloved and eternal family of God for sinful people like us, all for free, for Jesus' sake alone, by grace through faith in Him. Oh, therefore, let us trust Him, dear friend, and love Him, and serve Him with everything we have, and every day too. Next Sunday, being also Christmas Day, and the last Lord's Day of the year 2016, we will think about Jesus' first coming when born in Bethlehem, His birth and life and ministry as Savior of sinners is so special and sure and wonderful, just considering His four main names and titles, as told us in the Gospel of the Bible, in the Gospel of God for us. That Gospel, yes, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, if you once understand these four names, you know it has to be true. And it makes a lot of gospel sense, too, that Jesus Christ, the Lord, God's Son, is coming again. And infinitely blessed will all be who are ready for His appearing, who trust and follow Him now in this life. And woe to all who look not for His coming again, as He said, and who refuse to trust and follow Him in this life. With Jesus' first coming, how many who should have known better were unmindful of His coming and unbelieving about it? But that is not true now of you too, is it? God forbid. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, the one and only Savior of sinners. And hear the blessed, most reliable gospel tidings for all people, even as the angel declared with Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Indeed, for once more, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. Does that include you too? Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.